Porch Talk is made possible in part by a generous donation from Mary Washington Healthcare. When the unexpected happens and you need immediate access to medical services, the skilled healthcare team at the new Mary Washington Urgent Care is there for you. They provide care for minor illnesses and injuries that don't require ER visits, from flu to fever and from sprain to strain, all with the same care you'd expect from Mary Washington Healthcare. Now open in King George at 11131 Journal Parkway or visit urgent.mwhc.com. Welcome to Porch Talk. I'm Ted Tate, sitting on my front porch today with Eric Nelson, who is my friend and neighbor. And welcome to the porch, Eric.
Thanks, Ted. I'm happy to be your guest today.
So it's a gorgeous day here in Colonial Beach. We've survived the heat wave, and we're ready for some nice porch sitting weather. So really, really happy to be here. I usually start out just to sort of break the ice on this sort of thing to ask people a little bit about how they, in your case, how did you find Colonial Beach? What made you come here?
Well, it was happenstance, actually. Back in 2011, I wanted to take Edward, my husband, away for his birthday for a weekend. And I didn't want it to be very far because it was a busy weekend for both of us, and I wanted it to be about an hour and a half drive from Alexandria, where we were living. So I drew a circle around Alexandria, and that would be an hour and a half drive, and started looking into places that I thought we would enjoy being at for the weekend, and stumbled upon a bed and breakfast here in Colonial Beach. Neither of us had ever been to Colonial Beach or had ever heard of Colonial Beach. It just seemed like a cool place to come and spend a weekend, again with my husband. So we came here one evening. It was a surprise. He did not know where we were going, and I was driving.
Oh, nice.
And so we came across the Harry Nice Bridge. It happened to be a very misty evening, so it was actually very... the whole thing seemed very mysterious because he did not know where we were going, and it was...
What did you tell him?
Well, we had a friend who, Angela, who I think you knew, who has a house on Cobb Island. So as we were coming down 301, he thought we were going to Angela's house. He was sure of it. Mm. But then when we passed the road that goes to Cobb Island, then he had no idea where we were going. So anyway, we kept going. We crossed the Harry Nice Bridge. We came to Colonial Beach, and we went to our bed and breakfast. And the next morning, we got up and walked around town, and we met Rod and Scott.
Oh.
And they invited us to a dinner party that evening, where I think that was when we probably met you.
For the first time, yeah.
Yep. And we had this instant circle of friends, which was wonderful.
Yeah, Rod and Scott were very good at that.
So that's how we got here. And that's how we... And then we started coming back on weekends to visit our new friends. And within 6 months, we were looking for a house.
Right. Yeah. I remember certainly... parties at Rod and Scott's dinner. Scott was famous for throwing, you know, oh, let's invite 20 people over for dinner. And I would look at him because I'm not a cook and say, well, but you don't have any food. Yes, I do. I'll just pull something out of the freezer and we'll throw some stuff together. He was amazing that way. He could turn a meal out of nothing in your cupboard. It was amazing.
Exactly.
Great. And I also remember being there and you guys, I think were staying somewhere else, but you were like walking by. We were sitting on the porch and you guys were walking by, I guess just kind of scoping out neighborhoods and looking at houses and all of that sort of thing. Cool.
Yeah, that's how we got introduced to it. And now it's, and so this was a, so we bought the house. It was our weekend place for several years. And I think you know that I owned a small chain of stores in the D.C. area called Artfully Chocolate, where I sold my artwork and chocolate, was a chocolatier, and also happened to do classes that were pairing chocolate and wine, which has now become a popular thing here in Colonial Beach. But anyway, so after a few years of trying to handle half a life here and half a life in Alexandria, I decided this is really where I wanted to be. So I closed down my businesses and ended up being here.
Now, the chocolate shops, you had two different ones, right? One in the city and then one in Delray?
We actually had four.
Four?
Yeah, okay. I had one in Maryland, one in D.C., and two in Alexandria.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I had done that for 10 years. I think, well, maybe you don't know, that before that I was a trade association executive for 25 years before that.
We've talked about that, yeah.
Yeah. So I was the head of the international department of a trade association. My job was to go around the world helping American companies do business abroad. So, you know, I had had a very exciting career, and doing the art and chocolate was also very stimulating.
And a completely different thing. I mean, you went from being sort of a corporate guy to an artist who has his own shop selling his art in his shop and making chocolate, which
exactly.
Sounds awfully fun.
Exactly.
Kid in a candy store, to coin the phrase.
Exactly. I think of my life as being in chapters. So,
okay.
So one of my chapters was being this corporate guy. Actually, even before that, I was a government employee. So
you were a drone?
So my first... I was a statistician. So my very first chapter was being as a statistician. That didn't last very long because that was not my kind of milieu.
Just the fact that you used the word milieu in a government job tells me you weren't cut out for it.
Exactly. So then I got this job as the head of the International Department of the Trade Association, and I really enjoyed that, but...
And how long did you do that, you said?
Oh, I don't know, 20 years or something like that.
Wow, okay.
And then, but I'd always had this artistic instinct, and I figured that I needed to spend some portion of my life pursuing that. So when I turned, I don't know, 45 or something like that, I decided I would quit my career and pursue my passion of being an artist.
Was this your midlife crisis?
I guess you could say that, but I had made quite a bit of money during my years as a trade association person, so I could live fairly well on my savings, and so even if I didn't make a lot of money, because actually, you know, as you probably understand, being an artist is not the easiest way to make money. So
and neither is being a self-employed shopkeeper.
No, it's true. Those were some lean years, actually. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot, and I sold hundreds and hundreds of pieces of art. But it was hard work, and yeah. Financially not that rewarding. So, you know, when I started struggling having to... In fact, I think I was here several times when I would get calls from my... from my staff...
saying somebody didn't show up to work,
yes.
Or the cappuccino machine is broken, what do I do?
Exactly, and I'd have to rush back to Alexandria to
yep.
to fill shifts. And so that just started to wear on me completely, and so that's when I decided, you know, this is really where I want to be. I don't want to be doing that anymore at all.
Mm.
So that's how I ended up being here all the time. Now, as you know, Edward still works at the Patent and Trademark Office in Alexandria, but he telecommutes from here several days a week, so that makes it much easier.
Yes, I'm envious. What brought you to the next chapter? What made you decide to become a real estate agent?
Well, I began thinking, what could I do here if I... Actually, even before I quit my... or closed down my stores, I began to think about, what could I do here that would earn me an income... that would take advantage of some of my skills. And being a realtor was one of those things that came to my mind. I do like interacting with people. I'm nosy. I like to go into people's houses.
Oh, that's a perk.
So I decided that I would take the real estate class and then the test and see if it would be something that I would like to learn more about and be involved with. And it turned out that it was actually quite interesting. It stimulated my brain in a different way.
But it was all very experimental at first.
It was. I wasn't sure that that's what I would end up doing. But as I sort of made the decision to close my stores and then had to figure out pretty quickly, what am I going to do? And it was not so much about the income as more as it was just about what am I going to do to fill my day. So being a realtor has given me tremendous flexibility in terms of how I spend my day. And by the way, it's been very rewarding financially too. So I'm quite happy at this job. I really do enjoy interacting with people. I love the idea of putting people into new homes and seeing how they flourish here in Colonial Beach. I mean, I'm probably one of the biggest cheerleaders for Colonial Beach, and I always talk about Colonial Beach as being one of those places that basically is like drinking Kool-Aid. Once you drink the Kool-Aid, you can't resist the idea of having a house here and then building a life here. It's just one of those places.
I completely agree. And your story of how you came here on a whim one weekend and then suddenly started house shopping immediately after that is telling. And it, you know, I don't know how many people you've talked to, but probably a lot, who their stories are similar.
Yes.
People who come here and buy a house the same weekend they come here for the first time, even. I've heard of stories of that, or more likely that they at least start shopping.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it is such a special place. I like to think of it as a like a huge family, which is sometimes dysfunctional, like families can be. But at the end of the day, it's all for one and one for all, because we are like a big family. This is a very small town. I feel like I know at least half the people in this town, and it just feels like I'm always being surrounded by my friends and family. That's how it feels to me.
That's great. And I agree with you completely. That's cool. So you mentioned, obviously, that real estate allows you to schedule your time in a very flexible way. I'm not going to say you were bored, but you found other things to fill your time as well. You're heavily involved in a lot of different areas of the town, not the least of which, of course, is the Colonial Beach Community Foundation. And you were key in getting the radio station started by, I think, convincing the board that it was a good idea. Tell me about how you got involved with the foundation and how that started.
Well, let me say first that my philosophy for all of my adult life has been to try to leave a place better than how I found it. So when I had a business in D.C., I was an active member of the Chamber of Commerce of D.C. when I was, and at the same time, I was also on the board of the Chamber of Commerce of Alexandria. And, I mean, I like being involved. It's my personality to want to be part of the machinery that makes a place work. So coming here, I felt that this was really a place where I could make a difference, that my participation in the activities of the organizations of this town could really make a difference. So
I guess in a small pond, you can make a bigger wave.
That's exactly right. In fact, in D.C., I felt like I was a minnow in an ocean. In Alexandria, I felt like I was a big fish in a small pond. Here, I feel like I'm a whale in a drop of water. I mean, seriously, if you want to make a difference here in this town, it's not that hard to do it. I mean, because there's a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot of work that can be done, and this town runs on the work of volunteers. It's really very volunteer oriented because it's a small government that doesn't have the resources to do a lot of the stuff that needs to be done. So it's up to people, the chamber and other organizations. So I started joining organizations, the boards of organizations, and for a while I was on four boards.
Here at Colonial Beach?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was on the board of this group called Downtown Colonial Beach, which is a great organization. It's a Main Street affiliate. And I was also was and still am on the board of the chamber. And then I was also on the Planning Commission, which is not exactly a board, but it's a very important organization in this town. And as you mentioned, the foundation, the Colonial Beach Community Foundation, I don't exactly remember how I first learned about it, but I Oh, I do know, actually, now that I think about it. So, you maybe remember we had a meeting with Peter Farney, the LGBT folks. I think you were at Jenny and Michelle's apartment.
No, condo. I don't think I attended that.
Well, maybe not, but there was a bunch of us, a bunch of the LGBT community who wanted to be active in this town, and we thought the foundation was the right place. And so Peter Farney came to, Dr. Farney came to the meet with us one day and explained what the foundation was doing. We said that we would like to contribute to the work of the foundation. And so three of us joined the board, like, all at once. It was myself, Diane Burden, and Terry Miller. And Terry was on the board for a while, and then, because of various personal reasons, decided to go off the board, but Diane and I are still on the board. But the foundation is a really tremendously important organization in town, and becoming even more important. The foundation went through a reorganization about a year and a half ago, and we're still kind of going through it. It's basically, we want the organization to be a bigger, more important, more philanthropic organization in this town, giving more money to other organizations who do good work. So we give money to, for example, the Humane Society. We've given money to the Colonial Beach Performing Arts Group, to the Choral Group. And so when you came to me with this idea of the radio station, it fit perfectly, I thought, into the mission of the organization. And so it was, I felt it was really important to be the champion on the board for the radio station. It's not that there was any resistance, but somebody needs to do it. Somebody needs to be the cheerleader.
And in particular, somebody, I think, you know, in your case, somebody on the board or somebody they know, a perfect stranger walking in, you know, it's like a salesman knocking on your door. If it's somebody you don't know, might not believe them when they tell you this is going to be a great thing.
Yeah.
But when a friend of yours and a fellow board member says, I think this is a great thing, it's a whole different experience.
Right. And so I felt it was a really great thing. I mean, this town has so much potential, and there's so many cool things that are happening right now. And I think the radio station is one of them. It's and again, the Performing Arts Group, the Choral Group, all of these are really indications this town is really coming into its own with really fun things for people to do and participate
and in. Lots of artistic stuff.
Yes.
Which I know you obviously love. Are you still doing your art?
Yes. In fact, surprisingly, when I decided to come here, I thought, well, I guess that means that my artwork's probably not going to do as well as it used to. But honestly, I probably have sold as much, if not more, work than I did when I was had the stores around town.
How do you find the time to make the art, though?
Well, that is a bit of a challenge. I will say it is. There are 24 hours in a day, though.
I don't know about you, but I spend about 8 of them sleeping.
Yeah. I'm not busy every day with the real estate.
Right.
You know, Mondays and Tuesdays tend to be slower days, and of course, there are times of the year that are slower than others. Right now is a particularly busy time for real estate.
Yeah.
But there are times of the year that are not that busy, so...
Well, the whole town kind of slows down in January, February sort of period. We come here almost every weekend, winter and summer, and I've noticed how very quiet it gets around here, with the entire restaurant just closing down for a month or two at a time.
It's true, but you know what? You just need to scratch the surface. If you want to do something in this town, there is always something to do. There's always somebody having a party, somebody doing something. There's the restaurants that do stay open, do different kinds of activities. The one that we like is Tide Zin, does trivia on Thursday nights. I mean, there's always something going on.
Oh, I know.
People to hang out with, people to do things with.
Well, one of my favorite things always about the town has been that there's usually some social activity at somebody's home or something going on any given, at least weekend, if not night. You know, it doesn't have to be go to the bar. It's go to dinner at somebody's house, or somebody's having a bonfire, or what have you. So
exactly. it's one of the things that makes this place so special is that it's basically about just people having friends and hanging out and enjoying life.
So as I think about it, you said you first looked at your house in 2001?
We first came down here in 2011.
2011, sorry. I knew it was a one.
And we bought the house in 2012.
Okay, so you've been here now for, what, 8 years? Seven years.
Yeah.
I certainly would say that the town is growing and changing, and you sort of alluded to that. What would you point out as some of the biggest or best changes you've seen?
Yeah, I have seen a lot of changes in lots of interesting and subtle things. For example, one of the things that was happening when we first arrived was if you were to go to a council meeting, invariably there would be council members fighting with each other, arguing loudly with each other. It felt like a kind of a bit of a rough and tumble kind of scenario.
Wild West?
Yeah. I feel like right now, anyway, the council is like a much better, much more organized and constructive entity than it has been since we've moved here. And frankly, this is the council being organized and having respect for each other, council members having respect for each other, which has not been the case all along. It's really important to accomplishing things. I just feel like the town is going through a bit of a metamorphosis. The town has had its ups and downs over the years. So this town is finally regaining its footing, and there's a lot of new energy coming to this town, and there's a lot of new ideas, new, I don't know, if you go down any street and you see houses being built, you see houses being renovated. It just makes me feel good that this town is beginning to go through another renaissance, and I'm happy to be part of it. I'm happy to be contributing to it. And you mentioned the arts a few moments ago, and I think that's really, really an important part of the renaissance. And it is one of those catalysts that help towns really emerge as an important destination. If you look at places like Provincetown or Key West, basically those places started their growth spurts with artists, and then comes the LGBT community, and then comes the rest of the
people.
Then comes everybody else who comes and takes advantage of the new, exciting, interesting things
of the Friday night art walk and whatever else the town is doing.
Exactly. So I feel like this town is now on a trajectory that will really make it a must do kind of place.
Hmm.
Everybody I talk to in DC who comes down here for the first time, they don't understand why this place is so undiscovered. We really need to be creative about how we try to diversify our income coming into this town so the government is not saddled with just relying on real estate taxes to bring income in and to provide the services that it needs to provide.
Well, you weren't kidding about attending the town council meetings, were you?
No, I mean, I think it's important, first of all, to make a difference, but it's also important to know what your leaders are doing or not doing.
Well, I didn't mean to get too political, but I know it's a passion for you. I mean, the success of this town and your friends and neighbors, I know is very important to you. And I understand. That's why you want to talk about it, isn't it?
Yes. And, well, I don't know if you know this, but I have a bachelor's and a master's in economics, so...
Oh, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, so this is what my profession was for years, and my educational background is in this area. And again, I guess I just feel like it's, as a resident here, as a citizen here, it's really important to understand the dynamics of the town council, the dynamics of the organizations in this town that make a difference, and to be part of that difference.
Well, I think we're a little bit out of time here, but thank you very much for coming out and chatting on the porch.
Well, thank you, Ted. I hope I didn't get too far into the weeds with stuff related to my vision for the town.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like I said, it's important to you, and this is all about getting to know what's important to the people we're talking to. So, Eric Nelson, thank you very much for joining me on Porch Talk.
Thank you, Ted.